Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The Lord is your helper. Don't fear what man can do to you. God will help us. God will take care of us. He always has anyway. Sometimes we just forget that. But he wants us to remember that that is the case. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Hebrews. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Hebrews chapter 13 in a message titled, Serving God Acceptably. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, the word entertain here is better translated, be hospitable toward, or show hospitality to. And he says, do not forget to entertain or to show hospitality to strangers. This is another thing with the church. We are to be hospitable. We're to be welcoming. We're to be those who are embracing of others. I was listening to a guy share his testimony, and he was talking about how he was invited to a church, never been to church in his entire life. Had no concept of church because he grew up in a family where there was just no emphasis whatsoever on anything religious. So he'd never gone to church. And as a young man, he was invited by a friend to go to church. So he went. And he tells of his experience. You know, here he is. He's kind of an outsider because he doesn't know anybody except the person who brought him. He comes into an atmosphere where they're, you know, much like we would do, they're worshiping, there's music, they're maybe expressing worship, they're lifting their hands and things like that. And of course, he thinks, this is the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in my life. And he talks about how awkward he felt because he didn't know anybody. He felt like he was just really sort of standing out there and everybody just kind of knew that he shouldn't have been there. Felt very uncomfortable, he said. But at the end of the service, he said someone came to him and introduced themselves. So they were very kind and welcomed him to the church and then said, would it be okay if I prayed for you? And he didn't know what else to say, so he said, okay. And they prayed for him. But he said when they prayed for him, he said he had a feeling that he'd never had before. And he said he knew now what it was. It was the love of God just flooded over his life. But his point was when that person showed hospitality, when that person came up and welcomed him and made him feel like he was wanted, and that just that turned everything around for him, and then especially the prayer. And that's the way we are supposed to be. Now, in these days, Christians would travel from city to city, and oftentimes they would come into a place where they didn't know anybody. But the way the early church looked at things is they should welcome those strangers that came from different places, and they should show the hospitality first to their own, to their people. So as Christians would come in, they would do this. But then, of course, oftentimes it would extend beyond the believers as well. But he says an interesting thing here. He says, don't forget to be hospitable to strangers because some have unwittingly entertained or shown hospitality to angels. Now, he's no doubt reflecting back on the story from Genesis 18 where Abraham is there sitting in his tent and three men pass by and he invites them to come in and to be refreshed and to have a meal. And two of those men happened to be angels, and one of them happened to be the Lord himself. Now, Abraham didn't know that. They were just strangers passing by. But in the course of the meal, he discovered that these were actually angels that had come under the shelter of his tent. And so I believe certainly the author's making an allusion back to that, but he's telling us that that kind of thing is possible. You know, it's possible that there might be a person who is actually an angel in disguise, disguised as a human being, that as we would reach out to them and show them hospitality, we would actually be ministering to an angel. I read an article yesterday in USA Today about a family in Scottsdale, Arizona, who went out to celebrate the birthday of the mother. And the mother-in-law came along, and she was elderly. And during the course of the meal, she had some sort of an episode where she stopped breathing, and they thought, you know, she was going to die on the spot. And as they were trying to administer to, you know, some sort of assistance to her, suddenly this woman showed up and said, "I'm a nurse. Here, let me help." And she kind of took over everything, gave her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, got her breathing again, and the paramedics came. And then as the family went to find the woman to thank her, she had vanished. Nobody had seen her leave. They went to the management of the restaurant. They said, "Well, you know, we think we saw her, but we don't know who she was. And she didn't eat here, and she left." And, you know, in the article, the writer actually referred to her as the angel nurse. And I wonder if maybe they had some sort of background where they might have known this passage. So you never know. I mean, maybe she's just a lady who did happen to randomly show up, and they'll find out later who she was. But at this point, they don't know who she was. She was just there at the moment, right at that moment. And they say that basically she saved the life of their loved one. So you never know. These things might happen. Years and years ago, when Cheryl and I were dating, I was working down in Huntington Beach at a surf shop. And as I was getting off work one evening and I went out, there was a lady, and she had to be in her 80s. Now, that's an unusual thing in and of itself right there. You usually don't see, you know, ladies in their 80s hanging around at PCH and Main Street. So I thought this was a little bit different. And so anyway, I found out as I began to talk to her that she was trying to get back to her residence. And, you know, somehow she missed her ride or whatever. She wasn't able to get there. So I volunteered to take her. Now, Cheryl and I were dating at the time. And as I was driving her back to her place of residence, I began to tell her a little bit about my bride-to-be and the fact that we were going to get married and all of that. And she would say, "Oh, I bet she is just so beautiful. Oh, I bet she's just going to be the most wonderful." Oh, she is. She's going to be the most wonderful wife. I just, well, this is, yeah, I think so too. You know, this is great. And then I, you know, I was sharing the Lord with her a little bit. And I was talking to her about the Bible and about Jesus and what it, you know, what the scriptures say and all that. So I get her back to, or I get her to the place where she asked me to take her. And then I said to her, I said, "You know, I would just love for you to come to our wedding." And she said, "Well, I would love to come." And so I said, "Well, I'd like to send you an invitation." I took down the address of the place. She gave me her name. And then she said this to me. She looked at me. She said, "Young man, this is the greatest day of my life because you told me about Jesus." And I was like, wow, this is great. You know, this is amazing. So I went back and I told Cheryl the whole story, and she thought it was great too. And I said, "Okay, we're going to send her this invitation." And we sent out the invitation, and it came back and it said, "No such person at this place." So I called the place and I said, "Well, I know the person lives there because I dropped them off there." And they said to me, they said, "I'm sorry, sir. We don't have anybody by this name here. And we've never had anybody by this name here." So I concluded she was an angel. I still don't know. But, you know, it was one of those kinds of things where I walked away thinking, wow. That, because it was just so, there were so many things about it, you know, that were just really extraordinary. So you never know what is going to happen. So we have to be sensitive to those things. We have to be sensitive to those that he's referring to here, the strangers.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
Now, verse 3. "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." So remembering the prisoners, those who were in prison for their faith, those who were mistreated, those who were suffering persecution, that's who he's talking about here. And when he says remember them, he's basically reminding us to pray for those who were in that plight. But remembering them, he says, as if you were chained with them. So when we think of those who are suffering for their faith, we need to put ourselves, he's talking about empathy here, we need to put ourselves in their place so we can kind of feel, at least in our imagination, we can kind of feel what they're going through. You know, sometimes I'm going to hope that you guys do this too, so I'm not the worst person in the room, but you know, sometimes I have to confess that when I'm praying for people, I'm not praying with the passion or the intensity or the focus that I should. You know, sometimes I hear about something and, you know, somebody says, oh, would you pray for this? And you're going to, okay, yeah, Lord, I just pray for that. And then I think, man, if I hope nobody prays for me like this, because if they do, God, it's pathetic. You know, it's kind of a heartless prayer. You ever pray a heartless prayer? I confess I have done that. But this is not that. He's saying, don't pray like that. He's saying, no, enter in, engage in, put yourself in the place where the person is at. So when we think of those who are in prison, when we think of those who are suffering for their faith, when we think of those who are persecuted, we need to, in our mind, put ourselves in their shoes, and we need to think, you know, how would I want somebody to pray for me if I were in this place? So we're praying intentionally. We're praying passionately. We're praying with confidence and faith. That's what it means to remember those who are in prison and those who are mistreated as though chained with them, remembering that we ourselves are in the body. They're part of the body. We're all together. You know, if you had a family member, say, a loved one, that was in a situation like this, of course, you would be much more focused. It's all my son or my daughter or my, you know, whoever it might be. Well, remember, we're all part of the body. We're all part of the family. Those who are suffering in that way, they are literally our family members because we're all the children of God. So remember them in prayer. And then in verse 4, he says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now, I don't know about you, but when you read this verse, you wonder like, okay, well, what does this have to do with the context of everything he's saying? And I don't think that the biblical writers ever just randomly threw stuff in. I always look to find the connection. Okay, why does he say this here? And this is what I have concluded. Why he brings up marriage here is because, remember, he's talking to people who are suffering. He's talking to people who are wavering in their faith because of the difficulties. He's talking to people who are thinking about stepping away, stepping back from Jesus because it's uncomfortable following him closely, and they're looking to get out of that uncomfortable situation. And you know what happens sometimes when we go through difficulties? Sometimes instead of turning to the Lord or drawing near to him, we draw away from him, and then we go to other things to find consolation. We go to other things to receive comfort. And in some cases, what people do is they go into adultery. They go into adultery because they feel like, well, this I'm going to get some comfort here from this relationship. I'm not getting it in the circumstances that I find myself in right now. You know, somebody recently was telling me about a person who's, they're going through a crisis in their family because of the health of one of their children. And you know, the mother, of course, is all concerned about the health of the child. And the dad is all concerned about how now this new problem that the child has developed is going to interfere with his sex life with his wife. You think, what? But that's how selfish we can become at times. That's how self-centered we can become. And sometimes a crisis sets us up for temptation because we're looking for relief, we're looking for comfort, and we could be tempted to go in the wrong direction. So he just gives a firm reminder that marriage is honorable and the bed is to be kept undefiled. And then a firm reminder, God's going to judge the fornicator and the adulterer. And so it's really, you know, a warning in a sense, not to look for comfort or security somewhere else, but it's also a reminder to be faithful in the marital relationship. And then in verse 5, he says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Once again, in the context, they had suffered the loss of possessions. They had suffered the loss of position. They had taken a financial hit because of their commitment to Christ. They were being shunned. You know, perhaps some of them were, you know, maybe they were shop owners. And the word got around, hey, don't be buying your goods from these followers of Jesus. We don't want to give any support to them. And so they began to suffer financially because of their commitment to Christ. And then again, the temptation to go after money would come. And the author says, let your life be without covetousness and be content with what you have. And remember this, God has said he'll never leave you or forsake you. The Lord's with you. He's going to take care of you. And then he reminds them that the Lord is our helper. You know, we live in a climate today that is becoming more like the climate that they lived in. It's not, we're not there yet, but at the rate things are going, we could be there sooner than we think. You know, today it's not uncommon for people to be getting pressure from their employer, pressure to just kind of, you know, embrace the new perspective on sexuality and all of those kinds of things. And, you know, the pressure to say, you know, we don't want you letting anybody know that you're a follower of Jesus here. And, you know, all of that kind of stuff is happening. And on many occasions, we're seeing that people who are boldly taking a stand for following Jesus are suffering some consequences. Sometimes they're losing their jobs, or sometimes they're being overlooked in a promotion that would be rightfully theirs. And when that happens, there's a temptation to think, well, you know, I've got to compromise, because if I don't compromise, I'm going to lose my job. And if I lose my job, how am I going to survive? Well, here's how you're going to survive. The Lord is your helper. Don't fear what man can do to you. God will help us. God will take care of us. He always has anyway. Sometimes we just forget that. But he wants us to remember that that is the case. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. And we can have confidence that if men turn us out, if they exclude us, if they put in, you know, policies that are going to, you know, prevent us from being able to prosper and move forward, then we're just going to have to trust the Lord. We should be trusting him anyway, but we're going to have to, in a more obvious way, trust him when those kinds of things come along. But what a wonderful word there in verse 6. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's our response to that, those kinds of threats. Well, okay, whatever you do, that's your business. But, you know, the Lord is my helper. I'm trusting the Lord in the end. And the Lord is going to take care of us. Verse 7, remember those who rule over you, or those who lead you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So remember, once again, the idea to pray for, to call to mind those who lead you. And so this is just a reminder to think about those who are in spiritual leadership over you, those who speak the word of God to you. Pray for them. Pray for us. I'm so thankful for the fact that so many of you pray for us. I really am. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And I travel a lot, as you know, and people will come up and say, you know, I've been praying for you. And I just am so blessed. I'm so thankful. My mom, I was talking to her yesterday, and she was telling me she has a friend who I've never met before. She's in her 80s, and she prays for me every single day. And I'm just astounded. My mom's telling me, she says, and you know, she really doesn't like you traveling. And she's really concerned about you. And I said, well, okay, well, tell her I'm home and I'm not going anywhere. And so, you know, her prayers are answered there. But I just thought that was funny. You know, she prays for me every day, and she has a strong opinion that I shouldn't be traveling as much. So, but I'm just so thankful that she prays. And that's what it means to remember those who lead you, who have spoken the word to you. And also, Your responsibility is to pray for us. Our responsibility is to live a faithful life so you can follow our example. Hopefully we're doing that. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is one of my favorite verses. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can't tell you how many times this one little verse has just leapt off the page and spoken so powerfully to me. Now, again, what's the context? The context is this: God is faithful. That's why he brings up the eternality of Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The immutability of Jesus. Immutability means he never changes. And the encouragement is that we can trust the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What we've seen him do in the past, as they remember at chapter 11, that long history of all of those that God was faithful to, he's saying, you know, that same God who is faithful to them is going to be faithful to you as well. He's the same today as he was yesterday, and he's never going to change. He's going to be the same forever. And that's how I've been many, many times greatly encouraged through this word. It's just a reminder that, you know, the Lord is faithful. He hasn't changed. His promises are faithful. His promises are true. And the promises that he gave centuries ago still apply to his people today. And when you read a passage of scripture and when that thing just resonates with you and it's a promise of God in your circumstances, listen, believe it. Lay hold of it. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning after second service, and I've known her for 35 plus years, and her grandson, I might have alluded to this story a while back, but her grandson had an accident through a drug overdose, and he was basically in a state where they said, first of all, they said he was going to die. Secondly, they said if he lived, he would be a vegetable, and there was a conversation going on in the hospital about who was going to pull the plug. And God spoke to her and said, fight for him, pray for him. He's not going to die. All the doctors, everybody dealing with him said, you know, sorry, this is a done deal. There's nothing that can be done. It's over. He's gone. She told me today, next week, he's getting on an airplane and he's coming out here for Christmas. God did for her and others just exactly what he told her that he would do. And when everybody was saying, no, it's impossible, it's never going to happen, it's over, face it, she said, no, I believe what Jesus told me. And she was right. So the Lord, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful. We can depend on him. Verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied by it. Is that verse a little weird? Let the heart be established with grace, not with foods. What does that mean? Well, remember who he's writing to. He's writing to Jews. And what was a big part of Judaism, it was the what we call today the kosher laws. Remember? They thought, and there was a time, obviously, where God did give them dietary restrictions back under the Mosaic system, but they were continuing to think that it was what they ate or didn't eat that would give them favor with God, and the writer says, don't be preoccupied with those things. That is not the issue. The issue is the grace of God. Let the heart be established in God's grace. Now, most of us aren't Jewish. We don't have to struggle with that kosher issue. There are Jews, obviously, today who still abide by that. And sometimes even Jewish people that come to faith in Jesus, they kind of still get, you know, torn between the Jewish traditions and culture. And they sometimes feel like, well, you know, I've got to still abide by the kosher diet and all of that. But this doesn't affect you spiritually one way or the other.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen. I'd like to remind you that you can get today's message and any additional resource designed to encourage you in your walk with the Lord at our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Instagram at @BackTOBRadio or on Twitter, or like us on our Facebook page. We would enjoy hearing from you. We'd also like to send you a gift for supporting Back to Basics. Our gift for this month for a donation of any size is the DVD The Neighborhood. The Neighborhood is a film that tells the story of four men who overcame the power of gang life by surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ. Great news. Now they're going back into the hood with this message of hope. The details for obtaining this DVD and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Hebrews. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.